I also want to mention too, how many of you enjoyed last week the Cove came out, joined us and everything. How many of you had a great time then? Come on. That was amazing. And so they're going to be back with us next Sunday, so you don't want to miss it. If you didn't know, their pastor Dennis Lindsay couldn't make it to be with us here, has some flight cancellations and delays and things like that, and so they're going to be back here next Sunday, so you want to make sure you're in the building next Sunday. It's going to be awesome. Every time we get together, it's just explosive, and it's a fun time in the spirit, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it. As one person said, it felt like home, no matter whether we're there or here with them in the spirit. It just feels like home. Brothers from another mother, right? Here we go. Awesome. All right. And so today, we're going to be continuing the sermon series on our spiritual DNA. And today, I get to preach on the Word, one of my favorite subjects. Just love it. And so I want to start off with a different way. Instead of just jumping right into my sermon, I actually want to just open up with some ministry in the Word and let it really wash over us, because it's so important. I mean, realistically, if we think about it, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time, right? But at the same time, like, it's so valuable. It's invaluable. It's literally the Word of God. Like, God spoke and it's recorded. We have it on paper. Like, just think about that. Like, a transcendent God spoke and communicated with us human beings. Dirt. Literally. And we have that. And how important is that to us? And so it's not just like a book that you go out to Barnes & Noble, you get it, and it's something good to read, you know, it's refreshing. It's holy, you know? Yeah. It's completely other than. And so here's some things I want to really start off with, that every bit of it is true. And so Psalms 19:7 says this, "The instruction of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul, and his decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." The instructions of the Lord are perfect. Why don't we say that together? The instructions of the Lord are perfect. So much so that even Jesus depended on it. The Word himself depended on the Word of God. Wow. Matthew 4:4 says this, "But Jesus told him," speaking to Satan, "No, the scriptures say," when he was tempted, "people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Yeah. So we live by every single word that pours forth from God's mouth.
Yeah.
Jesus depended on it. His life depended on it. Mm-hmm. His human life depended on the Word of God. 2 Peter, it says this, "For when we received honor and glory from God our Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have a prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture," everybody say, "no prophecy of Scripture,"
"no prophecy of Scripture,"
"comes from one's own understanding or interpretation." This is not made up by man. And so no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And this, it says, "Let the Word of God dwell richly in you." Let it dwell inside of you. Like, why don't we just take some time right now? Let the words that we are reading right now that you're hearing, let them dwell richly in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yeah. It's the well from which we draw from. We draw from his words. His word feeds us. Yeah. It feeds us. And so he says, let the word dwell richly in you. Yeah. Let it encompass all of your being. Let it indwell you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you from the word. He's speaking to you even now. Let it dwell on the inside of you. It's the thing that bubbles up in you. Yeah. It's not your own understanding. It's not your word. It is Jesus' words, the very words of life that speak to us inwardly from a deep place of knowing. Yeah. Just as Seth was saying with that last song, there's something deep. Look into my eyes. Search your heart. There's something deep on the inside. When he speaks his words, there's something that causes our hearts to burn. Yeah. Jesus preaching Jesus, the word of God, preaching the word of God on the road to Emmaus. Yeah. The disciples have been with him, but as he starts to preach and explain and expound upon the word, what did they say whenever he is lifted and taken back to heaven? Did our hearts not burn within us?
Amen.
Did our hearts not burn within us?
Amen.
Because it's life-giving. John 6:63 says this, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human efforts accomplish nothing. Human efforts accomplish nothing. Wow. And the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. They are beyond anything we know in this world that we can see and touch and feel. They are spirit and they are life.
Yeah.
By his words, Genesis 1, God spoke, he created. Everything existed. It was birthed. His words are spirit and his words are life.
Yeah.
We don't have power in our own being to walk up to a person and say, be healed, and they become healed. It's not our words. It's the word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
They're sweeter than honey. They're sweeter than honey. How sweet are your living promises to me? Sweeter than honey is your revelation light. For your truth is the source of my understanding. Not the falsehoods of those who don't know you, which I despise. Truth, shining light, guides in me in my choices and my decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. To live my life by your righteous rules has been my holy and lifelong commitment. I'm bruised and broken, overwhelmed by it all. Breathe life into me again by your living word. Everybody just put your hands out and close your eyes for a second. Ask the Lord to breathe life into me again by your living word.
Yeah.
Father God, we just pray right now.
Amen.
Your word is life. It is sweeter than honey.
Yeah.
Your word is truth. Your word is spirit.
Yeah.
It is the sword. It's our offensive weapon.
Yeah.
It's our foundation. It's what guides us. And we ask you today to speak life, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Speak life. Revive our souls again.
Yeah.
Revive our souls again. Come and awaken us. Quicken the word of God right now, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Speak to each and every one sitting here right now. I know you're brooding over this place. You're here right now. I can feel you and I can see you in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
We ask for listening ears and open and soft hearts as we receive your word today. Help us to obediently follow it. Speak it to us in such a tender and gentle way. It will cause us to affectionately run after you, Jesus. We love you.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, God.
Amen. I love it. that this taste and see reality. Ezekiel talks about eating the scroll. He says it was sweeter than honey when God put his words in his mouth. Ezekiel 3:3 says, eat the scroll. Today, I think the word of the Lord is that eat the scroll. Eat the scroll.
Yeah.
Eat the Bible.
Yeah.
Digest it.
Yeah.
Not literally. Hopefully you won't do that. But eat the scroll. We're laughing, man, but this is no joking matter. Like, we look at the world today, we live in probably one of the most biblically illiterate times in history that our generation is facing. I've been to unreached people groups in the nations, those who don't have churches on their corners and people to preach the gospel to them. But how many of you know there's a generation rising up today that doesn't even know Jesus that lives right here in America? And so thank God for churches like this. Amen. So I'm going to lighten it up just a little bit. How many of you like barbecue? Come on, sit. I'm going to like you, bro. All right. And so barbecue. Man, I grew up Baptist. How many of you grew up Baptist? Anybody? Come on. What a Baptist know really well besides the Word of God. And evangelism and missions and a bunch of other stuff. What do Baptists know really well and how to?
Barbecue.
Come on. Yes. They know how to cook, man. They know how to throw down. I'm like, yes, it's so good. And so with that, so this week I was out running some errands and I was getting a little hungry and I'm like trying to decide. It's always the question of every day. Where do I go? What do I eat? This kind of thing like that. And I swing by this place, smell it. I'm like, this smells great. You know what I mean? Maybe it'll be good. From the outside, looks authentic. You know, walk in. I mean, like, you got the barbecue menu all up there and everything. I mean, it smells good, looks good, and everything like that. I get up to the counter. I'm like, I want some brisket, you know? And I get my plate, go back, sit down. My mouth's already watering. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be delicious. I spent $17 on this barbecue plate. Josh Timberlake, if you're listening, I'm embarrassing myself right now. I won't mention where I would go, but I'm longing for some. I will mention this place, Prime Barbecue in Knightdale. If you're ever out there, my goodness, go there. I did, and I made a mistake, and that's why he knows I'm embarrassing myself right now. He's like, yeah. Anyway, so I go to this place. It has the smell, you know, of everything that looks good. I mean, it has the whole authentic looking inside of, like, the pit smoke barbecue and all of this. I bite into it. I'm like, what in the world? It is flavorless. It is dry. I'm like, but surely this was smoked. I'm like, I get the beans, I eat the beans. I'm like, did they just open like some baked beans from a can and just pour this in here? The mac and cheese was off. I was mad. I'm like, what is this? What is this? Who tricked me? Like, and then I paid my money for it. And so I'm like, you know, I was paying for this experience that wasn't authentic. You know, but I was fooled by what I saw on the outside and the smells and everything. It brought me in. It drew me into this place, you know. And so it said barbecue, but I'm like, that's not barbecue. Like, that's, no, like, come on. You know, like, I should have told them I was Baptist, man. We had pig pickings, bro. Like, it's a whole nother level you got to get to, you know. And so it was not a taste and see reality. I was tasting and I was disappointed. I was like, man, my eyes deceived me. And so I want to get to this. And as a few weeks ago, Sarah said that we're entering into like this taste and see reality of like the Lord is giving us honey and honey being truth. And I really feel like that is true as I talk about communicating the truth, both the written and spoken word of the Lord, you know, past, present, and future, that is unchanging. Like, and that's the thing. The Bible is timeless. The Word of God is timeless. It says that heaven and earth are going to fade away. Like, the things that we see is going to burn up. Heaven, where Jesus lives now, is going to burn up. It's going to dissolve somehow. He's going to unite heaven and earth and make a whole new place. And he says, my words won't fade away. And so this thing about the Word is that it is more than just information. And I want to bring it into a present day reality and into our church of that this is something. It's not just about introducing people to the Bible or anything like that. It's about a personal encounter that they're looking for. They're looking for an encounter. They're looking for the experience. People can read the Bible, they can hear about Jesus, but they need to experience the authentic thing. They need encounter. And so it's more than just intellectual attainment. It's more than just feeding ourselves knowledge. It's an actual experiential thing. And it's not just a book full of information, but it's primarily about transformation. And I'm going at this in a backwards way. So I'm starting at where we want to meet people in this with both the written and the spoken word. And so, like I said, it's primarily not about information, it's about transformation.
Yeah.
And that's what it was written to tell us, that to transform us. And that people are looking for more than just the surpassing the limits of what's normal or what's even maybe possible. They want something transcendent. They want something that is beyond the norm, guys. And the Word of God gives that to them.
Yeah.
It really does. If it's not, I honestly want to believe it could potentially even be a counterfeit gospel. Because when I read the Bible, Jesus never leaves someone the same. He never left them the same. If they were looking for change and they were coming to him, he never denied them that. And so in this time and day that we live in, people are looking for some transcendent experience. I mean, look around. We're in COVID. The hopelessness that some people are experiencing from being trapped at home. Depression rates are rising. You know, people are self-medicating and things like that. They are looking for an encounter. And so this is a quote that a guy, he's really influential. He's a church leader, pastor. His name is Kerry Newhoff. And so he says, when people come to your church these days, fewer are looking for information about God. They're looking for an experience with God.
Yeah.
They're not just looking for me to tell and parrot things that I've known or heard about God, you know. They're looking for an experience with God.
Yeah, that's right.
And so information today is everywhere. They can get that online. We've experienced that this entire last 2020. They don't have to come to our church. They can look and they probably already got the information about just as much as they want online. It's just a click away. And so information is out there, but transformation is scarce. It's scarce. They're searching everywhere, from life coaches to psychologists to wherever, you know, the next self-help guru or whoever it is. Transformation is scarce, and people will pay exorbitant amounts of money or whatever it takes to get it. Because they're longing for something deeper in their soul.
Yeah.
And so too many people who have been to church know about God, not enough know God. I'll say that again. Too many people who have been to church know about God, peripheral, not enough know God. Proximity, knowing him, intimacy. And the thing is that truth does not always produce change. Like, we can't just tell people truth, like, read the Bible, hey, this is true. Like, how many of you know truth does not always change? people. The fact of the matter is like smoking cigarettes causes cancer. But people still smoke. We spent millions and millions of dollars on this to tell people, to educate them, but yet people still smoke, right? So truth does not automatically equal change. So that transcendent experience, the heart naturally longs for God. It naturally, there's a longing in every human heart that longs for God. That longs to encounter God. And people are hungry for true community, deeper experiences, and authentic transformation. And this can come through the Word. That's why they want to come to church. They want to experience something authentic. And they get it not only from us, but us speaking the Word of God. There's power behind that Word. It says that it is life and it is spirit. And it has the power to change. It's active and alive. And so the churches that they have found that are growing the fastest are not actively just engaging the head. They're engaging the heart. And so we're talking about building a place for his presence. That's why we're going after that, guys. That's why we do what we do. That's why we spend so much time lingering in the presence, because we know that things change there. Yeah. In a moment. Years of trauma can be broken off.
Yeah.
When people enter the presence of God.
Yeah.
And that's why we do things the way that we do. That's why it looks the way that it looks. So in short, is people don't want to know what's true. They want to know what's real.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
And so it's real is deeper than an idea. Like an idea is that God heals. What's real is that I've seen God heal.
Yeah.
I've seen personally praying for a person to be healed of cancer and getting a report that they were completely healed of it.
Yeah.
I've seen him heal people from dreams that other people have gotten on my team about somebody losing their voice. We go out to minister the next day. There's a lady with a veil over her face. And we ask, what's wrong with her? Oh, she gave her life to Jesus and all of a sudden she lost her voice. The Word of God enters into that situation, the Spirit of God quickening the Word that was given to those teammates of mine to say, let's pray for this person because there's power in the now, in the moment, for this individual to receive transformation and receive her voice back. And the first thing that she utters that she can speak is Jesus. Yes, Sue. They're looking for something bigger than ourselves. Personally, what's real? I know God is a deliverer. People can read that. Well, God delivers, brother. All right. What does that do for me? And so we have to enter into the authority and power of the believer on this word. It's foundational. And so it's what saved my life, the Word of God speaking to me in a dream, not in a church. I was living with a girlfriend at the time. We definitely were not living a Christian life. The Lord speaks to me in a dream, takes me on a 2-year journey, saves my life. The Word of God. And it matches up with His Word. He is a deliverer. And so the written Word provides context to our encounters with the spoken Word. To both worship, glorify, and follow Jesus. And so, I want to track it back to, as Matthew was speaking and talking about the Azusa Street Revival, which birthed a ton of, you know, denominations, non-denoms, basically this charismatic movement. And I want to track it to yet maybe another individual and kind of fast forward to a guy named John Wimber. How many of you have heard of him? Yeah. And so Vineyard Movement. And so he was one of these pioneers who helped pioneer a lot of what we see in modern worship today, a lot of what we see with signs, miracles, wonders, things like that being very acceptable in the church, you know, and not just it being the word, but like the spoken word of God for the now moment, you know? And this is what he said. All word and no spirit, we dry up. All spirit and no word, we blow up. With the spirit and the word, we grow up. And so as I was preparing this message, I was looking over these words, rhema and logos. And I'm like, I get different definitions about them, but ultimately kind of where I landed is that they're not that different. It's not that it's like the written word and like you're bound to that, or it's like the spoken word, which would probably be considered more the rhema word, speaking internally the Holy Spirit in your heart. It's like what I found ultimately is that scholars really consider them kind of almost interchangeable. It's just communication. It's God's word. Jesus speaking.
Yeah.
And so it's not either or, it's both and. Both word and spirit, like John Wimber said here, with the spirit and the word would grow up. And so it's almost like elementary to say this, but I just want to like explain that like here at River Life, we're devoted to the authority of scriptures. Mm-hmm. We are.
Yeah.
We're not just charis crazy. You know what I mean? We really love the word of God. And so we read our Bibles. We have good doctrine. Just want to throw that out there as a blanket statement, you know? And so we're devoted to the authority of Scripture and hold that they are inerrant and infallible.
Yeah. Amen.
They're perfect. Like, maybe some translations have been off, but the original recordings of these are perfect. You know, we hold to that. We hold to this as true. Because Psalms 19 says that the instructions of the Lord are perfect.
Yeah, amen.
They're perfect. And then in 2 Peter, they go on to explain that the prophecies about Jesus were true. And so we see that. And that none of this, and I'm just repeating this to make a point of like none of this, that the Bible is inerrant. And I'm really just saying this point because I think now truth is under attack.
Yeah.
You know? And that, oh, well, can we really trust this antiquated, out of date, out of touch with society book that was written in a different culture and a different language? Yes. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Because it's timeless. And so we can trust that. Because 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God, useful teaching, is true and makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Amen.
And so these are more than just merely words on a praise page. This is the inspired word of God.
Yeah.
And so, existing in many different forms. John 1 says that Jesus is the Word. That he was died and he resurrected by the power of his Word. And we know that the Spirit gives life and quickens this to us so that we can obediently follow Jesus in the now. And so that written Word and all it is a communication of truths. Both by Jesus, both recorded in Scripture, and by his Holy Spirit speaking to us in the present moment.
Yeah.
Both word and spirit, or spirit and truth. And so it gives us direction. So for instance, like you're trying to make a tough decision, where to work, where to go to college, these things. And so there are some overarching principles that we can see that are laid out in the Bible that we would want to follow, right? And so we would use those, and then maybe the Holy Spirit would speak something to your heart and kind of nudge you in a certain direction of where to go. Maybe this is a better place, or that's a better place to go. Don't go here, don't go there, right? And so we follow that leading, and that they don't contradict. What usually happens is a misinterpretation of what we hear, right? But that's why we have the written word as an authority in our lives to be able to go back to that as guardrails, right? And put up as good boundaries for us to keep us safe. And so this word is alive and active, and it's an offensive weapon. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, exposes our innermost thoughts. And so it is an offensive weapon as well. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so it's an offensive weapon that we use to wage war, not against people, not to destructively bring people down, right? Because we don't wage war against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We use these words to build others up and to tear down demonic strongholds. And so it says this in Jeremiah 23:29. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not a mighty hammer that smashes a rock into pieces? And so when people are looking for these encounters, they're looking for more than just these words on a page. They're looking for things that get inspired in us as the word of God has dwelt in us, as it has become a part of us, that maybe the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you about the essence and the spirit of a certain verse or something like that. And that bubbling up just begins to come out of you, and you begin to speak or prophesy or get a word of knowledge over a certain person, over a certain situation, maybe even for yourself, that then releases the power of God into that current condition that can cause transformation. And so we got to read it. I say to people, like, Gabe, you'll like this. It's like amino acids, right? You don't have those, you can't build muscle. The difference between branched chain amino acids and like single form amino acids, you got to have the branched chains that go in and build proteins a lot faster, a lot quicker. And so we have to have the word. I like to say that if we don't have a solid foundation in the word of God, when God begins to speak, very often what is going to happen is you're going to receive a revelation, but then the application and understanding of what's said is going to be really off. Because you don't know how to interpret what's being said. And what's usually going to happen is you're going to filter that through a lens of your experiences or your desires to do what you want to do. And that's oftentimes not where Jesus is leading you. He's leading you to a place that's going to build you up, but it might not oftentimes be your way of doing things.
Yeah.
And so we need this. And so you'll see us here at River Life as we use this in our service. As when people come up, you know, and they get a word for maybe the service. And what we'll do is we'll try to judge that word really quickly, you know, in like 5 minutes or less, you know. Not technically speaking, but we're trying to take that information, process it through scripture, and say, how does this apply to what we're doing today? so that the entire room can be built up on that.
Yeah.
Very often when I come up here, what I try to do is marry scripture with the moment of seeing how God is moving in the room, and what I will do to try to hit the lens of understanding our mind, mental faculties, is I'll try to marry that with a scripture in the Bible of saying, hey guys, we're seeing God do this, just so that you know that what we're seeing and what we're experiencing is like not just some emotional hype or anything like that, that is really authentic. Here it is in the scriptures.
Yeah.
Here's where you can find this. Because it's not our own words. It's not merely our own interpretation of anything, but it is the Spirit speaking in the now, who wants to glorify Jesus in the moment.
Yeah.
And so he's giving direction to our heart of like, hey, I want to bring this to your mind. I want to quicken something to you.
Yeah.
I want to bring this scripture up so that it produces a change and transformation in your life and in the lives of others. And so it's not this cosmic battle. I know it's kind of different camps maybe out there that will exalt maybe the word more, or some will exalt, well, we want the Spirit more, what he's saying and speaking. And it's not this battle of like Jesus and the Holy Spirit fighting. They're best friends, guys. An affectionate relationship of love that's been going on eternally.
Yeah.
No beginning and no end. They're not at odds with one another. Mm-hmm. They're definitely not. And so we don't need to try to put them in fencing against one another. Mm-hmm. Or anything like that. And so how do these things really work together? So for me personally, I've seen these work in many different ways of where the scripture, and it can be something like that, where it really feeds your life, gets you through a difficult situation where you're just maybe not feeling it at all or in a dry season. But you can go to the Word of God and you can plant there and put a stake in the ground and say, I know this is true. I'm going to stand on this and it's going to carry me through. And I've seen it produce breakthrough for other people's lives. There's a story, a testimony I have of where I met this guy, and his name was Brian. And this is when I lived in Wilmington. And the Spirit was speaking. He primarily, one of the ways I hear a lot is through dreams. And where I connect this with scripture is I know that God speaks through dreams. You know, you see it in Joseph's, both Joseph's Old and New Testament, and in many other places. And in this guy's life, he was coming to know the Lord, but he was in a situation at a place, at another church, where they were doing, where a guy was setting up a ministry supposedly to get kids off of the street and using like mixed martial arts as a means to really reach them. However, the person running the ministry was way off in a lot of different ways that was causing sin to be rampant there and in this young man's life. And so when I met this guy, he came in later on, the Lord gives me a dream, and his nickname was Superman. And so in this dream, I see Superman fighting Doomsday. I'm a comic book nerd, and so if you don't know about Superman and Doomsday, Doomsday is this comic book character that kills Superman. And so in the dream, Doomsday is fighting Superman and kills him. And so how I interpret that is that's evil forces coming against this individual's life, and he's losing a battle. The next scene is that there is a person with a dog kennel. She has these dogs trapped in this kennel, and she's like this militarized figure, barking out demands and mistreating all of the animals in there. And that was those individuals trapped in this mixed martial arts ministry. But in the dream, I went into this place and I knew that I was going to get hurt going into it. I go in, somehow I free some of the animals that were in there, but I come out and I was injured. And so, reality, I'm befriending this individual, and so he gives me an invitation to come down to this ministry with him. And so instead of saying no, I knew because of the dream I was supposed to say yes. And so I take up mixed martial arts. I go into there, and a guy gives me an ankle lock. I'm trying to twist my leg all the way up so I can choke him out with my tibia on his neck, and I hear a pop. My left lateral collateral ligament popped. Worst thing you can get before it tore all the way. However, I knew that out of that, it wasn't the end of the story because God had already given me a word. And that none of his words will ever fall to the earth without accomplishing what he sent them out to do. And so out of that, this friendship develops. This guy gets pulled out of that ministry, gets his life saved, starts to see transformation, gets married, has kids, and now is living a godly filled life. And so listening to the voice of the Lord, written, spoken in the moment of how to follow, led to an individual receiving life transformation. So the word, spirit, and truth is what we want to follow. This is our DNA, guys.
Yeah.
This is what we're committed to. We're committed to the word and its authority. We're committed to obediently following Jesus, yeah, both his written word and the Holy Spirit speaking, yeah, to us. Amen. Because we're never going to stay stagnant because we're following the leader.
Yeah.
And as a church, that's what we have our ears attuned to, is listening to his voice.
Amen.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Where are you going? We're behind you and we are following you.
Yeah. Amen.
And we are committed to that because we know when we do, we're aligning ourselves in the presence, in his presence. And there's an anointing that flows there that is not only for us, but for this entire community. And so why don't we just stand up right now, guys? So I really believe that God is speaking, that he does speak today, obviously, if you didn't get that. But I really feel like he wants to use every single one of us in here. Like maybe you feel like you don't regularly get words of knowledge or words of wisdom, or you don't move in healing or any of that. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to quicken that in us.
Yeah.
Because the Great Commission, Jesus' word says that these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they're going to see these things. They're going to see healings. They're going to see,
yeah,
demons cast out. They're going to see the dead raised back to life. Both literal and figuratively speaking. And so why don't we just close our eyes right now as I just pray over you. I really believe that as I pray, that I'll challenge you this week to really begin to pray the word of God.
Yeah.
Not only for yourself, maybe it's for yourself, but over an individual. And as you pray that word, as you let it dwell richly in you, begin to meditate on it, you know? Begin to meditate on that. And I believe the Spirit is going to breathe and speak life into that, something on that he's going to highlight to you for yourself or for another person. And then I want you to do what Scripture commands us to obediently follow. That's discipleship. Is to be obedient. If he says it, go do it. And so, Father God, I'm just praying right now over each and every individual in here that that word, the word of God, would dwell richly in our spirits, God. That it would begin to move and run swiftly through our hearts and through our lives, causing a bubbling up, that it would be like a fire on the inside of our bellies, in our heart, God, that would just cause us to overflow. That that river of life would begin to just pour forth from our bellies, God, out of our mouths, God. That the word of God would wash those around us, that it would wash our families, God, that it would cleanse and wash us, God, that it would wash our friends, our coworkers, God, that they would know that there is something different, that there is something that has distinguished us, that we are marked and transformed by your word, God. And I thank you, God, as sons and daughters, you are deputizing us. You have deputized us with your word into your kingdom, God, with power and with authority, God, to go out. And we don't just carry our own words, that all of heaven backs us up, God, when we speak your word. God, that when we hear your word and act on it, God, that all of heaven is saying yes. And that there is a power released in that. And I just feel like right now, there's maybe someone in the room that you're hearing this. And as you're hearing it, you're kind of in a just a sense of like, maybe you've had a word or something that you haven't seen change for years, that you've prayed over, that you've asked God about. And it's maybe just a hard situation, and it's just causing you to kind of maybe be like, yeah, right. And so, God, I'm asking right now, that you would send your word to revive their soul, amen, to touch that situation right now. Amen. That your word never, ever, ever fails. Amen. And I just see him breaking off disappointment right now. I see him wiping tears right now. And I believe that he's ministering healing from trauma. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would touch minds, illuminate the word of God, break off any lie that we have believed that have caused any stronghold to be built, that you would tear them down. Your word is like a hammer. Smash those strongholds to pieces, God. Smash them to pieces. Uproot them and begin to build back up with your word on a solid foundation in Jesus' name.
I just want to pray something over us all. If there's anybody in this room that when you're listening to this, you're like, you know, I know reading the Bible is important, but I don't really connect with the Bible. Or for me, I'm passionate about praying about this because I remember when I was in my late teens, my early 20s, I had somebody pray for me because I literally would fall asleep reading the Bible. And I knew reading the Bible was going to be important for following Jesus. But I just would fall asleep reading it. And I was like, Lord, this is an impossibility to me. I don't like reading in general, was what I was thinking, you know. But I'm needing the word to come to life when I'm reading it, like, and he did. He absolutely transformed reading the Bible for me. And so I just want to pray for you, because even sometimes you may walk through seasons where it feels dry, you know, and I just want to encourage you that the word of God is life, and that it takes the Lord, his Holy Spirit brings the revelation. So Lord, right now, if there's anyone in this room who really would like to be able to want to read the Bible, Lord, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come into that place in their hearts, Lord. Awaken their hearts to your Holy Spirit and make the words of your living word, your Bible, just come to life. Come to life, Lord. Just breath of God, breathe on their hearts. And when they open the word of God to read it, that they would not want to put it down, that it would just come and encounter them, that it would lead them into those encounters with you, that it would just come to life, that as they would read it, that you would bring the anchoring word for that moment that they need in their lives, Lord, that it would be an anchor, it would be a firm foundation, it would be a revelation of who you are, it would be a revelation of who you've created them to be. They would find a reflection of who they've been created to be. The life-giving words would come forth through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. We love you, and we are excited to see all that God's going to do in your life. So bless you.